Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and now we're going to do a celebration of Chicago's game. And in the studio, my old friend, Don the Bat, from my old Sun Times days, and you played softball for 47 years?
47 years, yes. 40,
you're the Bartolo Colon of softball, Don. And also joining us is George Bliss, the curator of the 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame out in Forest Park. Thanks for joining us, George.
And I'm by Don DeBat. He's the legend that started this game and made it famous.
I know.
I can't wait to hear what he's going to say.
it's great to see you, Don. It's been a long time.
Absolutely great.
So talk about why Chicago is the capital of 16-inch, and then tell the listeners who maybe not knowing anything about this the difference between 16 and 12 and why Chicago 16.
Well, the game was really born in Chicago in 1887.
Uh-huh.
Our historian is here to check me on my dates.
Yeah.
And it started as indoor baseball, essentially. But it was about the story about the boxing glove that was tied up and swatted.
But what's the story? The Harvard-Yale-Chicago alumni, I think they wrapped a boxing glove with strings. I mean, George.
They were listening at the Farragut Boat Club, which is down there by McCormick Place now, and they wrapped the string, and we documented this through the Chicago Historical Society, and a guy took a broomstick and hit the ball, and they go, oh, indoor baseball. Last but not least, it was Harvard-Yale. Are you ready for this? Ticker tape. They were watching ticker tape of the football game back on the East Coast. Takes hours to get the ticker tape compared to Twitter nowadays.
Yeah, right.
So that was the original Twitter at the Farragut Boat Club.
What's really amazing about it is the game caught on as an indoor sport in the winter because basketball was not a popular sport. By the turn of the century, there were leagues and people were playing all over the place. And if you look at gymnasiums in old Chicago schools, they actually have a diamond painted on the gym floor, on the wood floor, and they have these metal grates on the windows. Why did they do that? Because of indoor softball.
Yeah, yeah. And there were company teams. It was a very working-class type sport, right, in its glory days.
You know, in the 60s, we're pretty sure in any single day, Grant Park, Altamont Prospect, Berwyn, 100,000 people were playing this game. I mean, this is Chicago's game. You know, soccer came in and other things have changed, but softball was Chicago's game, and it was huge in the 50s and 60s. And when Don had it on black and white TV, can you imagine, on Channel 11 way back in the day with Tim Weigel? Yeah. The things that he's done are just, you got to check it out. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, Don, what was your introduction to softball just as a young man, as a kid? I mean, when was the first time you played softball?
I grew up in Old Town, and I played softball in a cobblestone alley behind Halstead Street.
Really?
We who had money for gloves in those days? And so you had a bat and a ball, and it was the perfect game. And later, Gravel Schoolyards, Newberry School.
Wait a minute. We're old journalists. So perfect game. What do you mean by it, the perfect game?
Well, if you were a kid with not a lot of money, you could play a game with one ball, one bat, and maybe pieces of cardboard for bases. Yeah. And that was the charm of the game during the Depression, really. And it carried through, you know. Into the the 40s and 50s, although the game got much more sophisticated.
And who were your teammates? Were there other kids in the neighborhood? How old were you when you were doing this?
Well, the first organized team I ever really played on that I actually wore pants with snaps at the ankles. That's how far back I go. There were red pants with satin stripes. I was, I think, 15 years old, and then somehow I got on a team in Margate Park. I was fairly tall, and I was playing at 16 in Margate Park in an organized team called the Ferrets. That was my first really organized game, but we played in the neighborhood all the time. Guys from I went to Lane Tech, and I hung around with the athletic crowd instead of the people that stole hubcaps.
So around 1970, you're at the Chicago Daily News,
right?
Were you doing real estate then?
I was a business writer at first. But I did real estate. I covered savings and loans. I wasn't a sports writer at all, although I love sports.
You're a great writer. You still are.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
and so are you.
Yeah. He's great. So you post, now tell me if I got the story wrong. You post something and you're going to start a softball team.
And then
Mike Royko sees it.
Yeah. Well, what happened, I've been working at the paper for 2 years. I started in 68 at the Daily News, right out of college from the University of Missouri Journalism School. And my college roommate, Don Garbo Garbarino, was a fantastic softball player. And he keeps whispering in my ear, I want to play some ball again. And so... Garbo really talked me into putting a note on the bulletin board, and it was basically just, hey, let's start an office, a newsroom team, and let's play the Tribune and the Sun. We were the Daily News. We're in the same building. And
yeah.
Even though we were in the same building with the Sun-Times in those days, very competitive news environment there. So I put a note on a bulletin board. Anyone interested in joining a softball team? Within a half an hour, 20 minutes, I feel a hand on my shoulder, and it's the great Mike Royko. And at this point, I had never spoken to the man. I worked there for 2 years. I was afraid of him, you know, very gruff. But he said, "Lad, I understand you're starting a softball team." And I said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Royko." And he goes, "Here's how we'll do it." And I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "You'll be the captain, and I'll be the manager." And like an idiot, I said, "It's my team, you know." I said, "What are the duties of the captain?" And he says, "Well, you got to make all the calls and get the team out for you know, practice, and you know, you got to carry the bat bag." So my name is Don DeBat. So now I'm Batman. Okay. Later, I became a pretty good hitter, but I'm Batman, lugging the duffel bag full of bats and all that stuff and balls. So, but he says, there are perks. You do get to design the T-shirt, the first Daily News T-shirt, you know, softball team T-shirt. And I did, you know, and it just had the masthead of the paper, not too much creativeness on that part. But on the back, it had the famous goat heads that are on the, in fact, those goat heads, I think, were designed for this softball T-shirt. And later they wound up on the Billy Goats sign in front of the bar.
And we have that T-shirt at the Hall of Fame.
It's in the Hall of Fame, yeah.
Let me tell you my story about Mr. Royko. This is absolutely emotional. When I gave him the plaque that he was inducted in the first class, he cried, okay? And I said, "Mr. Royko," I said, it's the softball game. He said, "You see those Pulitzer Prizes? They go on the bottom shelf. This goes on the top." I was, to this day, blown away by that.
Wow.
He loved the game. It was his life. He couldn't wait to get out, as you know. The stories at the Billy Goat go on and on and on. And the money that was bet on those games, Don, whoa, big time.
Well, the parties were legendary with Mike because we liked to hoist a few. But when we lost, the parties were often better, you know. And
was he a sore loser?
Yeah, I've got some film on that. Swearing up a storm.
He wanted to win every game, and you probably seen the famous YouTube video of him talking about his last day. He wants to hit a home run, run around the bases, and have a heart attack and die on home plate. You know? And that would be his perfect ending.
For both of you guys, what did his, so Royko gets involved, Tim Weigel, what did that do for the sport? I mean, did it shine more light on it? I mean, you ended up doing something at Soldier Field in 1974.
Right.
Talk about the involvement of these guys in the sport.
Well, you know, one of the things that happened was I had a night sports job at the Daily News, working on the copy desk. I was the night slot guy, and Royko urged me to write a softball column. He actually urged me, and this was maybe 74, 75.
It was, yeah.
And the paper, Monday was a slow day. Monday night football was very big, but I'd write it on Sunday night, and they were giving it great play. We had some like half-page spreads on softball, and I think this sparked a little bit of interest.
Now, was this for the Daily News or the Sun-Times?
The Chicago Daily News.
Okay.
The Chicago Daily News. And I wrote a column about Beetlebaum, Ron Brash.
Ron Brash. Dr. Ron Brash.
And Ron Brash was a great softball organizer, and they called him Beetlebaum. And he was, anyway, I wrote the story about he was a character. When someone played for a Beetlebaum and did well, he would give them a repossessed television set because that's what he was doing in those days, out of his trunk after the game. If he really loved you, you got a German Shepherd puppy because he raised German Shepherds. And one thing led to another. The column ran for a couple of years, and I'm getting mail, and everybody's they're promoting it. And I said, "Boy, this is really great," except the real estate editor passed away, and I put in for his job because I wanted to get back on days. You know?
Yeah.
But that right around that time is when the softball thing is really cooking. The Windy City League is alive.
Yeah.
And it led up to the great game at the Soldier Field.
Correct.
In 75.
In the North End Zone.
North End Zone.
Black and white TV, Channel 11.
Amazing event. And Royko, Mike Royko, and Tim Weigel were the broadcast.
What, Marty was the third broadcaster?
Yeah, Marty.
The guy from Channel 11 for years.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. But Royko broadcast? He was a broadcaster?
He was up there. They had a booth, kind of, well, not really a booth, but, you know, the microphone set up. And I was kind of like off to the side because I knew every player because I'd been covering the thing, writing the column. And he goes, "Who's this guy?" And so I was, you know, slipping him slips of paper about the various players. So it made him look good, I hope, you know. But I was really happy just to be there. It was really a thrill. And 25,000 people, you know.
How many? Yeah.
Well, they had seats for 25. I don't know if all of them were filled for the championship game. Probably yes.
Wow.
Yes.
George, I mean, the games were on Sports Channel, and you did announcing, right?
I did for 3 years. We had the great pleasure of meeting up Rich Melman, who is a big supporter of us financially. And we went to Sports Channel, and they loved it. And I've got to say this, we had huge ratings. And because corporate America came in later and some new management changes, they took us off the air. But we had some beautiful times with Mike North and Bobby Bob Surratt, myself, and Steve Cashel. These guys are all local guys in Chicago that have been on sports teams. They all play. So many guys have played, you know, in the neighborhoods. Yeah. It's incredible.
You're in Forest Park, but that I've been talking to people about this segment all week, and there seems to be a real, I mean, Chicago, of course, but Forest Park, Berwyn, Westchester.
Yeah.
A lot of, why is that area a hotbed for sports?
Well, they chased us out of Grant Park. Now, I'm not going to get political tonight, but, okay? Yeah. But Lollapalooza and all these fancy corporations dominate the parks, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And we cannot afford it, and they took away the parking.
They
did literally push us out of Grant Park, which was the capital of softball for dozens and dozens of years.
350 teams played there.
350 teams.
350 teams on any given night, every night of the week. And I think they had weekend softball there, too. The Daily News played there. The Sun-Times played there.
Continental Bank.
All the big teams.
Railroad companies. Yeah.
All these big teams like
Dave, they made it so expensive that they chased us out. Yeah, the suburbs took us.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
And there was high brand of softball played down there because
absolutely.
A lot of the teams were loaded. You know, they had ringers and things like that. You know, they always added a few extra players, but it was accepted in those days.
I want to say in the museum, I've seen some pictures. I want to get over there and see it. But talk about some of the people that would sponsor the teams, and you have in the museum the Fluky Stokes sponsored teams.
Fluky Stokes.
Tell the listeners who Fluky is.
Well, Fluky Stokes,
sponsored.
For all you historians, was one of the first gangsters in Chicago. This gentleman literally was born in his buried in his Cadillac.
I remember that.
No joke, with $100 bills around his fingers in the ground somewhere in the South Side. He had many, many thousands of dollars. He sponsored many teams, and we have his jacket at the Hall of Fame. We get more talk about Fluky Stokes, the original gangster.
We're going to talk, we want to take a break, and
sure.
I want to talk about the sport as it stands today, the future of the sports, the role of Olympics. I want to talk a little about women in softball. So
absolutely.
Don't go away on Nocturnal Journal. It's great stuff on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we have Chicago softball legend, journalist Don DeBatt, former third baseman, with us to talk about softball, and George Bliss, the curator of the 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame, 7501 Harrison in Forest Park.
You got it.
Bony fingers. Tell us that story about your broken finger with Mike Royko and all that, Don.
Well,
Don DeBatt.
After we started this company team, he said we have to have something called a media league, so he let me organize this league that had all the newspapers, all the TV stations, some radio stations. It was a great thing. So I'm playing third base back in 1971, and I threw a sidearm throw to him at first base. He was playing first base. The throw tailed. It hit him on his pinky finger, and I did not know at this time, and I tore a ligament in his pinky finger. He was a very talented folk guitarist, and I ruined his guitar fret finger, and he told me, DeBatt, you're never going to play third base again. I said, where am I going to play? Short center. You would be a great short center. Tall, big guy, good hands. So I played short center for 20 years, and you know what? It was my position.
That's because the ball comes straight over.
Yeah,
you know,
when
you throw a 16-inch clincher, it has a high seam, by the way, guys, and the ball does tail. And you better know what you're doing at first base.
Well, and you know, short center was very good to me until I got wiped out on a couple of double plays. I have torn ligaments, you know, medial collaterals, and two knees.
Well, you tore into some guys, too, I've heard.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you're talking about injuries. Of course, everybody who plays 16-inch softball at a serious level has probably a few broken fingers, jammed. I've got, you know, four broken fingers and a broken thumb. And but the knees are the thing that, you know, I would still be playing today if it wasn't for these knees.
I played a little bit in the Lincoln Park League years ago.
Sure.
I played for Orphans, but yeah, I broke this finger.
Great, great, great team.
Thank God I never broke that one.
Yeah. Tell us about the George. Tell us about both you guys about this tournament in July. It's the 50th annual No Glove Nationals in July in Forest Park.
I mean, this is the tournament of the year. If you never see softball, you come out to Forest Park, and it's going to be on July 26th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Last 4 days of July. These are the best major teams in No Glove softball. Currently, the 45s are the defending champion.
Now, where are they from?
They are based out of Glenview, Illinois, okay, primarily, and they have a huge sponsor, Tito's Vodka, and a couple of the people. But there's so many good teams, Feta, and there's a team called Flashback, and all kinds of teams, and some local teams, too. And the battle is incredible. It starts Thursday night. Every play, it's like the NCAA Final Four. People go wild out there. But the way Forest Park handles it with our good friends out there, Dave Novak and Mr. Pikars, who are there for 50 years, okay? Mm-hmm. They have food, entertainment, all kinds of parking. The grass is better than Wrigley. It's gorgeous out there. And the Hall of Fame building sits right next door to it. So we have a big weekend there. A lot of fun. You got to come out, Dave, and see it and sit with me. You won't believe the play that goes on there. 50th annual.
Is there a Billy Goat type place out in Forest Park where everybody hangs out after the game?
There is two huge ones. One that I hang out with, McGaffer's. These are very famous saloons where all the guys go. We do some social media there. We have some, by the way, that's the big thing now, YouTube and Flesh and Facebook. That's where we're showing the games now because, you know, how can you afford a network?
Yeah.
You know, social media has saved the softball game. We're getting views now in California, et cetera, so it's all good.
Tell us about the field and the stadium they play at.
It's called Forest Park Fields, okay, and they have a full-time, for a park district, a full-time grounds crew that's there 24/7. They do the infield between every game. The bases are painted, sprayed. The grass is just lovely, beautiful. It's like a beautiful prairie park. It's awesome. And it's run by Lawrence Buckley is the guy out there that does the turf work. It's absolutely incredible. Forest Park Fields.
I think our friend Rich Dalton was telling me, was that a WPA field?
Boy, Rich, yes, going way back 1930-something.
Rich said he grew up across the street.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Wrigley Field of softball, we call it. We steal the concept, but it's absolutely incredible. And we have broadcasting out there. My good friend Tim Maher will be out there. He's broadcasting. I'll be broadcasting the game. We have the Slow Pitch Softball Association. That's the group that keeps everybody together. And then the national tournament, where we invite teams from all over the world, that's going to be on Labor Day in beautiful Wheeling, Illinois. That's the Slow Pitch Softball Association.
Is there a website? How can people find out more information?
Very simple. It's called Google. Just go 16-inch. Softball, Hall of Fame. You see the great picture of Mr. DeBatt. You'll see hundreds of pictures. But the best thing is you can come out on Saturdays from noon to 4, and I will show you around, and we will have a heck of a time. We'll even buy you a beer for free.
Okay.
And we'll have a little pizza, and we'll see all the photos. What do you think?
Okay, I will.
Come on. You've got to come
busy,
over, Dave.
But after the 4th, I'll do it.
Darn right. You get out there.
Got a book coming out, you know.
And don't forget, George is an individual inductee, which is a big deal in the 16-year Softball Hall of Fame, and so am I. I'm very proud of that. And I have the ring, I have the ball, the bronze ball, which is Tim Weigel got one and Royko got one.
Yeah.
It's something you put on your mantelpiece for life.
I'm there with Royko and Sweetwater Clifton, my friend, and Dr. DeBatt. I'm there on the wall.
Okay, we're going to keep you in just one more segment, talk about the future of the game. So don't go away. You can stay a little bit longer.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
So don't go away, you guys. We'll be back after David Jennings and the news on Nocturnal Journal.
We're talking softball. From Maine to San Diego, talking softball. Mattingly and Canseco, Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Sachs and his running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. And yes, we've got softball legend Don DeBatt, 47 years in the game, and a 16-inch softball. And George Bliss, wonderful curator of the 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame in Forest Park. Did you ever play 12-inch, either of you guys?
No, that's a sissy game.
Yeah, right.
Let's just get right to it.
Yeah.
Okay, anytime any 12-inch team wants to challenge us, I'm on with it. We will crush them.
Yeah.
And I've proven this, and I'm not going to start, okay? That's not softball.
Yeah.
That's not
why, because they have gloves?
Softball. Well, of course.
Yeah.
And they can hit a home run with a metal bat. Big deal.
Yeah.
Come out and play against us and see what happens. Yeah. You're gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
When I was in college at the University of Missouri, I went out to play intramural softball. So they showed up and they said, "Where's your glove?" And I said, no, I don't wear a glove. I'm from Chicago. And they said, play right field. So fast forward to the famous game that Royko booked up in Burlington, Wisconsin, against the Burlington Police Department the Burlington Champions.
Right.
We're playing a game. The deal was supposed to play half of a game of 16-inch and half of a game of 12-inch. We were beating them in two innings, 11-1, playing 16-inch. And they were saying, oh, well, we want to play 12-inch. And I said, okay, fine. Royko said, let's go. And so we got our gloves. And we had several guys on our team that were college baseball players. The home runs were flying over 300 feet out of this place with a 12-inch ball. It's the easiest thing in the world. I hit one out, and I'm a line drive hitter.
Yeah.
Everybody pounded them. Then we beat the Burlington champions at their own game.
Yeah.
You know, so good ball players.
Dave, the technique of hitting a 16-inch ball, they think it's easy. To hit the center of it is harder than a smaller sphere. So 16-inch players have much better hand-eye coordination than most 12-inch players, and that's just a fact.
Yeah. You got Moose Skowron stuff in the museum, don't you?
He played at Weber High School. He played with Cool Vent. We've got
Moose Skowron, who played for the White Sox.
Yeah,
and
was Mickey Mantle's roommate.
Yeah.
Sweetwater Clifton's jersey, Eddie Zolna's jersey, all these great, great stars of yesteryear. Frank Lentine, who's still playing at age 77. Willie Kemp was in the hall today, 80 years old. We got a lot of stars coming there and having old good talks with me. It's
what
great.
About women's role in the sport? And you've got a league of their own section there.
You know, we have a beautiful section. We got those beautiful uniforms from the folks that made the movies, A League of Our Own, with Rosie and Madonna, right? And we got the uniforms of Dottie.
Some of that was filmed at Fitzgerald's, our next guest.
Great. Yeah. See? And we've got the corner there. We get a lot of comments about that. I had a lady come in today from Glencoe. She loved it. Yes, women's softball is the most fun game to watch. There's a lot of co-ed leagues, and there was a tournament today, as a matter of fact, on the south side. And one of the great players is Rosie Geraci, who we just inducted. When I tell you she's as good as anybody you'll ever see, incredible. So we love that. We need to build it up a little bit, though, quite frankly, because they're kind of drifting to fast pitch 12 inches. You know, that's okay. Jenny Finch and all that, but the slow pitch game.
Well, did
that's
Jenny
the
Finch
game.
Play 16 inch when she was younger? And then
she
the
did.
The league became 12 inch.
She
league,
did. Yeah. She's been over at the museum. What a lovely person.
And she has been at the museum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She struck out Reggie Jackson.
Yeah,
did
right.
You know that?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And what are the hours of the museum? How can people find
out? Every Saturday from noon to 4. But for my friends on WGN, I'll give them a personal tour. Yeah. All they got to do is contact me. I'm on the internet, George Bliss.
That's great.
I'm right there.
That's great. So, Royko, tell us about the book you brought in, the Boss and the insignia.
I have a signed copy of, first edition signed copy of Boss by Mike Royko.
Wow.
And on the fly leaf, it says, for Don. The greatest third sacker since Bill Serena.
Now, I'm a Cubs fan. I didn't know who Bill Serena was.
And it's signed Mike. Now, I didn't know who Bill Serena was either. He came up to the majors in 1949 or 1950. And, you know, he hit some home runs the first year and then maybe 17. And then he had a terrible slump in the next couple of years. And he made more errors at third base than any other Cub player ever. And thank God Ron Santo came along and preserved that position. But I think that's Mike's little way of his way of joking about moving me from third base to short center, which I think was the right move. I really do. But
I want to ask you a little bit about what your final game was like. What was it like to play your last game? And how'd you decide that? I mean, you've been at this is your the love of your life, really, you know. And
my vintage Risk team, which started out as Risk, then it became Vintage Risk. It's actually my my son Eric's tag when he was a young artist. And the team became Vintage Risk because the team played together since 1985 continuously. And my last game. We were in a championship game.
Last year, it was 2017.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And we were losing the game. And we had a big rally at the end. And we literally were one hit away from winning a seventh championship in 3 years. And there was a disputed play. And the umpire literally took us out of the championship game. So it ended on a sour note. The previous year, in that same league, I got the win in the championship game at Treves Park. this time we lost, and it was a bummer. It really was. It took me about 3-4 months to get over that, you know. And then finally I said, okay, I'm not going to play anymore. I'm going to write this book and get it done. Chicago's game coming this fall.
Hey, oh, Dave. Oh, it's going to be out this fall?
I hope so.
Dave, really? That umpire is missing. Did I tell you that? They have bottles. I'm kidding.
You know who you are.
So the book will be out there. I know you've been working on it a long time.
I'm trying to get it all together now. You know,
you got to come back when the book comes out.
Being on your show really sparked my, when you're writing a book, sometimes you have other projects you're working on. I write every week. And I went through a whole bunch of stuff today, and I said, I could finish this up in a couple months if I really get on it, you know.
Oh, good for you.
And writing is, as you know, you have to devote yourself and really, really grind it out in some ways, you know. Yeah. Because that's what it is. I mean, it may be great stuff, but you sweat over every word. You know how that is. Yeah.
You guys are great. In the time we have left, can you just give me a little status of how the game sits today? Younger people, how many teams are there? Yeah, George, go ahead.
You know, we're just celebrating the 50th anniversary. We just built the museum 4 years ago. So come on out and see us. And our president, Ron Kubicki, and Ray Tops, and everybody out there that's done such a great job. We're building the game back up, quite frankly.
You are.
It's slow but sure. But I got a really nice call from the Chicago Police Department commander about a year ago. We're in McKinley Park every Wednesday teaching kids that have been at risk and that have just gotten out of jail, quite frankly, to play 16-inch softball.
Well, good.
And
that's
I'm
great.
Telling you, they love it. And the last year when we had about 17 kids, this is a great piece of information. Not one reoffender. They had something to do, Dave, when they took Chicago's game. So we're trying the best at the Hall of Fame to get this game, bring back Chicago's game, bring back the love that Mike Reichel brought us and Mr. DeBatt. This is the game that keeps people together in Chicago. This is the team game of our city.
Well, what you guys do is so important. You know, a lot of my books and a lot of stuff I did, it's oral history, you know, and you got to capture these stories. And sharing these stories tonight on the radio and sharing them in book form and sharing them at museum, that's really, really great because it's got such a deep history in Chicago.
Well, another thing that's really promising is we have 16-inch softball is a high school sport in the public school system.
My good friend Paul Ballas started it 3 years ago, and it's gaining momentum now, so good.
I think it's been an active sport since 1999.
That's correct.
But exactly, you know, right. Lane Tech, my alma mater, won the championship several times in the last few years. And
the championship is, by the way, going to be coming up pretty quickly for this year.
And in a little bit of time, you want to pay homage to Sam Jandusa. You wrote about him, one of your teammates, the soft hands. Talk about him in the time we have left.
Well, Sam unfortunately passed away.
April.
His memorial will be the 30th of June out at Nelson Funeral Home in Mount Prospect. And Sam Jandusa was one of the sweetest guys I played ball with in the 47 years. I played with him probably for about 10 or 15 years, and soft hands, a beautiful personality. Studied to be a chiropractor, and he would adjust our aching backs during
back
the game.
Adjustments,
perfect.
Free back adjustments. And one of the best clutch hitters in the game, Mike Royko said, if it was the bottom of the seventh and the tying run was on base, he'd want Sam Jandusa to come up and hit the ball.
Got it. Wow. Beautiful stories.
Well, thank you so much. This was really, really great.
Dave, we'll see you out there, okay? Yeah, you're coming up to see me. All right.
Okay, thanks so much, George Bliss. And
you got it,
buddy. Good to see you again. Thanks for bringing down the softball, too.
Thank you.